Welcome back to the Breakside Podcast, here for episode 39. This is your ultimate destination for in-depth collegiate and professional Frisbee discussions and interviews. I'm your host, David Adamitis. This episode's guest is a senior at the University of Massachusetts, where he captains their team, ZooDisc. In 2023, they're the runners-up at D1 College Nationals. Introducing Isaac Kaplan. Isaac, thanks for being here. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. That was like a hot ones interview. Like, you nailed the intro right there.
Dude, perfect. I appreciate that. It's short and sweet and to the point. And it's exciting. It's, you know, just before we hit record here, just sharing a little bit about how I play college Frisbee. And at this point of the semester in the spring, it's a really fun time. That spring semester is starting to really ramp up. You're getting tournaments, the practices are getting more serious. And I think at this point, you kind of see like a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, our goal is to get to nationals in your case. And I'm sure there's such an energy, such an atmosphere around the team. And you guys just came away from a pretty big tournament you guys played in. That was Florida Warm Up. So if you want to jump in and just kind of share with me how the tournament went, what are some takeaways you had?
Yeah, I mean, first, I'd just say, like, our goal isn't to make nationals. Our goal is to be the hardest working team and be the best team that we can be. So whatever that looks like.
Absolutely. I love that.
But yeah, Florida Warm Up was good. It's always pretty magical tournament. Like, we practice outside all the time through the winter and like have a pretty rigorous training week, the week and a half before Florida. So it's nice to feel your hands. Be able to actually feel the disc. But it went well. Like, I'm very happy with how hard the team worked, how we carried ourselves. And the result's the result, but whatever.
I like that, just feeling your hands. I went to school in Florida, and there were times we would travel up north. So it's the opposite effect. You're going from the warm weather and you couldn't feel your hands. So
yeah.
Not the way you want to go with that, but you had the opposite there. So that's awesome. It's a big tournament. You guys had top talent teams there, teams that you'll see at nationals that will be, you know, the top of the D1 sphere. And I know you guys have gone to this tournament in the past, but this year, what is it like going in there? You see teams that you will inevitably face again on kind of the big stage in a way. Do you kind of view this as like a scouting trip? Kind of, you see some of these other top talent teams, kind of see what's going on, see where they're at in this point of the season?
I don't know. I think that's like helpful. That's definitely a helpful little externality of it, but mostly it's just a test for ourselves. Last year, like, coming out of basically not ZooDisc not being like the team that it should be for a couple years there, like, going into the tournament, it was kind of like, we know we're good, but let's actually see what it's like and like if we're actually as good as we think we are, and as good as all the work that we put in. And this year was definitely a bit of a different experience of like, I mean, you hate to say like you have expectations because that's such a taboo, but like, of course, there's expectations that come with finishing where we finished last year and like just putting in all the work that you put in. So they're definitely like, it was a nice confirmation of like coming back to it as almost like a fan of ZooDisc and like a really appreciator of like what we can be, and seeing that that's still true was pretty great.
And you mentioned expectations there. I was going to save this for later, but since I brought it up, I think it's kind of fitting to talk about it.
Sure.
I found a quote out there from last year after your run at D1 Nationals where it says, quote, coming into this season, I didn't have any expectations in terms of results, which I think is very interesting. Just going in this blank slate and just performing to the best you can. That's interesting mentality. But now that you've been to that big stage, and unfortunately, you know, you guys didn't come away with the tournament, how does that change coming to this year? You've been to the big dance, and you mentioned expectations that naturally arise from there. Do you have this kind of pressure you're putting on yourself this year now?
I mean, I personally am always putting a lot of pressure on myself, just to work as hard as I can and be a good leader and like a leading by example way. I would say nothing has really changed. It's more that, like, externally there are all these expectations now. Whereas last year there were none of those. It was like any win that we had against a good team would shock everybody, at least at the beginning of the season. And winning Florida, like, nobody would have predicted us to do that except for ourselves, maybe. And so, no, I don't feel like I have any expectations in terms of results. I was talking to my coach Dylan about it, actually, and he was like, he's super big on the mental side of the game and not having expectations and all that. And he was like, I want to make sure that you're happy, like, coming away with this season, like, no matter what the end result is. And I thought about that for a bit and, like, actually questioned if I would be. And I think the genuine answer is, like, yeah, as long as we work as hard as we could. Like, I just don't want to come away from the season feeling like there was more to give or like we could have done something more. Like, obviously, if something happens and we could have done something differently, there will always be that doubt. But as long as we worked our hardest, and I personally worked my hardest, like, I'm going to feel good at the end of the season no matter what.
That's what it's all about, right? You give your best in everything you do. And right, as a captain on the team, you have some of that responsibility, right? You're a leader. You have to guide your team and, you know, that mental sphere, expectations, that mental battle you go into facing a tournament or a game, and leading guys in the physical aspect as well, you know, working hard. I'd be curious if you just share a little bit about your story with being a captain. It's your second year being a captain of the team now. And just how do you approach your leadership with the guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think, so just the story behind it is, like, I don't know how far you want me to go back, but I grew up in New York City, where Youth Ultimate is, like, not really a thing. I didn't know anything about it until maybe my sophomore year of, or I guess my freshman year of high school, but then I didn't play until, like, my junior year spring, which might sound like somewhat early to some people and somewhat late to others, depending on if you're from Amherst or North Carolina or anywhere else in the country. But then, so I came in, I got cut my freshman year at Zudisk, played on the D team, the whole time, worked my ass off. Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say ass, but.
Now you're good, keep it rolling.
And then, just my sophomore year after COVID, because I took a year off, came back and ended up at Smoky Mountain. Cole Jurek ended up diving into my foot and breaking it. He's a big guy, so that was a real injury, and so I was out for that season. But, like, I kind of knew that I wanted to be captain in a way of, like, I felt like I had good ideas and a good mindset behind it. And so the rest of the season, I just kind of, like, screamed my head off on the sideline and, like, really just tried to be a leader in whatever way I could. And then I ended up getting elected my next year, so last year. And I don't know, I think generally I come in with, like, a more values-based and, like, meanings approach. I think that's, like, my role as a captain in a lot of ways, between, in terms of, like, what each of us does. Because I definitely saw in the years where Zudisk wasn't as great, there was kind of a lack of hard values. And then even when we did have values or, like, identity statements, we wouldn't stick to them when something really went wrong. And so I basically, my whole, like, basing everything was just, like, I need to have really strong values, which I think I naturally do. And then, like, filter those in terms of, like, which ones are going to resonate with the team, and then make sure that I stick to them, like the whole time, like I need to really abide by these things, which is easy in some ways. Like I think I'm kind of obsessive and work really hard at this. So like, and I wouldn't want to not do that. So that is more easy. But then there's also difficult things of like putting on a good positive face and intense face, but while still like going through life things and dealing with all that. So yeah.
Absolutely. And there's so much to that. I think you could have a team of very talented players, but if there's not a good culture, a good community or bond with a group of people, it's going to fall apart. And it sounds like you experienced that in the early years at Zudis there. And it's incredible to see how you kind of turn this around. You had a role to play in that. Could you share a little bit more? What are some, you know, values or like mission statement in a way that you kind of really hit hard with the guys these last 2 years that have just helped elevate this team?
Sure. Last year it was, there were a couple, there was like strength and understanding, which I'm actually wearing a little crew neck that says strength and understanding from B Ultimate, shout out. And that was kind of overarching values. Like we had a lot of different two phrase things that fit together, but they all fit under either strength or understanding. And it was kind of like, I don't know how I explained it better last year when it was like the thing to explain, but it's like one does not exist without the other. And you need, like, to give an example of just like the season, you need a lot of strength to do all your workouts, be disciplined, like in moments of like doubt, self-doubt or external doubt, like power through that and have strength to power through that in terms of just like putting your head down and grinding. But then you also need a lot of understanding of like knowing that your teammates have your back and understanding that everybody's going through similar things and loving each other and loving like the difficulty of it all. And all that is like, I think that's the best I can explain it. And it kind of just fits into like any conflict that you might have within Frisbee or outside of Frisbee. And then winter training, we watched Free Solo, which is the Alex Honnold documentary. And there's a couple of things that we took from that, like quotes that we took from that. And one is, this is your path and you'll pursue it with excellence. And the other is you face your fear because your goal demands it. And I guess those are both pretty self-explanatory, but it's just really nice to have like those strong words to keep with you throughout the season and like in hard moments repeat those to yourselves. And I would definitely like say that both to myself and to my teammates in those moments. Like definitely remember saying that a few times in a Texas game last year, and I'm sure almost every game there were moments where I would say that to either myself or teammates. This year there's a lot of the similar stuff, and then maybe end of season I'll break it down for some other thing, but yeah, similar vibe of things going on and just like having strong statements to live by.
That's how you build a team, though. That's how you elevate a team and a good team into a great team, I think, is pieces like that. And I think those are things that a lot of people forget that are important. But it's a cornerstone of what makes a good player a great player, I think. And a part you mentioned there was self-discipline, which I think is so important, especially in a college Frisbee scene. When you look at other like major D1 varsity sports, right? Everything is so structured and built out for that team. And in the Frisbee world in college, it's not as much structure, right? They're not handed out big scholarships for Frisbee players in college, unfortunately. Not yet, at least. Mm-hmm. You know, so self-discipline, it's so important in this scene. Could you share a little bit about what your week is like with this team? What are, you know, how many practices are you guys doing? what kind of workouts or are you guys lifting together? What is kind of building this team together in kind of a weekly basis? Yeah.
So, I mean, we practice Tuesday, Thursday nights, and then Sunday mornings for a total of 7 hours. And then we have 3 lifts a week. Sometimes they change to plyos based on like what phase we're in. That's from a alumni who runs our like training regimen, and that's been awesome. That's first time last year we started that, and that was like super helpful. And then there's like 2 mobility days within that, so there's 5 days of something. And then aside from that, like I'd say a decent amount of people throw like at least in off practice days. And then like the people who are really on it are throwing every day. And then on top of that, like, I mean, just to give an example of like today, I'm going to come away from today feeling like pretty satisfied with the amount of work I did. And it was, I lifted, like went to the gym, did our Monday like programmed thing, and I threw, and then I'm going to watch film like after this with a teammate. And that's like solid. I think I threw for probably like 45 minutes. It would be great if it was like an hour and a half. But yeah, I would say like that's an ideal average day. And then practice days is like do whatever you need to do to get ready for practice and then be really present for those 2 hours, 3 hours.
That takes, yeah, again, so much discipline to get through those things. Like you said, 45 minutes of throwing versus an hour and a half of throwing. Both are good, but obviously one's better. But you're juggling a normal college student life, right? That comes with so much challenge. And I like that. Be present at practice. Like that's so much. Sometimes people like to goof off, but you're only there together as a team on the field for so many hours. In your case, 7 hours a week, which comparison to other sports honestly isn't too much. But you're able to reach, you know, the heights you can, and it's about being present. So just share with me a little bit more. What is like kind of a typical practice day when you guys are on the field? Are you guys running a lot of drills? Are you scrimmaging? What does that look like?
Yeah, it depends. Depends on what we're trying to get out of it. Also depends on where in the season it is. Like in the fall, I think there'll be a little more drills, a little more like explanation of things. But like now it's probably we get there 15 minutes before practice starts to like throw or do whatever you need to do. And then we try and warm up and be ready by the start time, like be warmed up. So we get full 2 hours in of actually practicing. And then we'll probably get 1, maybe 2 drills, like maybe for 15 to 25 minutes, something like that. And then scrimmage the whole rest of the time. Sometimes the scrimmages have certain like frazzles to them, like double score or like you have to do certain things. But then we'll probably at least get 1 regular scrimmage in.
One thing that I think has been interesting just hearing you talk about UMass and your journey with ZooDisc here is this idea of like development. You mentioned you came in and, you know, you didn't make the A team right away. You got cut from that, you said. But then your junior year, you become captain. You've been captain for 2 years now. So much about like the success of a team is, you know, seniors obviously will graduate. And who can you bring in? What kind of rookies can make an impact? How do you develop players for the future? I think you may be probably a pretty good story of a case where you came in, you didn't make the A team, but by your time your junior year comes around, you've made a significant impact on this team. What is the development process like? How do you prepare this team for the future? How do you work with your rookies and stuff? Just kind of talk about that whole atmosphere.
Yeah. I mean, I think it starts with like we kind of recruit as much as we can recruit. In terms of just like, we will definitely talk to high school players who look potentially like they could make the team 1 year, like at some point. and encourage them to come and encourage them to like reach out to us, ask whatever they need. And we've gotten a decent amount of people like that. Like there's a surprising number of New York kids on the team because me and one of the captains last year, Noel, like we've just like were present in the New York community, and UMass gives good financial aid. So we were always like, if you're good, like you should come here, and encouraging those people. And we probably got four or five people like that. But then once you're here, it's very hard to make the team. Like, I don't know exactly how many spots we had this year, but we had like, I don't know, 100 people try out or something, and like 8 maybe made the team, something like that. That might even be too high. And I don't know if those are numbers that are really unique to UMass. Maybe it, like any big Frisbee school has similar numbers. But then like, I think the biggest thing, like if I were to take away only one thing from everything I'm rambling, is like giving a space where someone really working their hardest will like be trusted and earn a spot. Because I'd love to say like my year, the developmental team had like some incredible coach and stuff, but really what it was three captains that of the D team that were just like such great people, and like I was gonna work my butt off either way. And so just doing that and having faith of like, no, this will actually pay off, rather than who knows if I'll ever make this team if I work my hardest. And I think there's some schools that are like that. Like, I mean, I don't know this for sure, but I assume that Darkside's somewhat like that, just because so many in-state kids have been in their program. And like, I can't say that that's not the way to do it, because they're really good. But I think this is a great way to do it. And just like providing a space where, and this year we took a kid from the D team from last year, and giving a space where it's like, okay, if this person is really working hard and knows what it means to really work hard, like they have a spot on this team, and we have faith that that spot is like a value for us too, in terms of leadership and like the team as a successful entity.
Yeah, there's so much there, like self-discipline, motivation, you know, being present to, you mentioned those captains that you had on the development team, right? Being present to you. And now it's your turn to be present on the A team here. And that's a mark that I think lasts with people, right? It's hard to, everyone, you can find a coach anywhere or a leader anywhere, but it's hard to find a good one. And I think good ones are the ones that leaves a mark. Even if you guys don't win this year, it's what kind of influence or mark can I leave on the team? And that's exactly kind of what it sounds like this program has been built to be. Another thing I kind of want to turn to here is looking back to last year, you guys had that championship run. And that was the first time Zudis had been to the national tournament, I believe it was, since 2018. I have that. Yeah, it's been a few years. You guys, you've said it several times, and you came out of nowhere in a sense. Mm-hmm. What was that like last year? What kind of spurned this? Like, what happened that elevated you? It was all this hard work, something click internally? Paint this picture for me.
I think partially, like, we had all the pieces to do it, and you kind of know that on some level. At the same time, there's, like, an immense amount of self-doubt and team doubt of like, are we really, like, do we have a team of 20 people better than the other, or 28 people better than this team, or X team? But like, yeah, and then you kind of prove that to yourself, like in Florida and Smoky, and Easterns was a challenge, but like we still proved that to ourselves. And then you start to grow that faith. And I think part of me leading meant like I had to always have that faith. And like, I think I kind of cultivated it well to the point where I didn't have to lie very often in terms of like, no, I think we're going to win this game. I actually believed it most of the time. Like I believed it during the Texas game when they were game point and like we had to break a bunch of times. And I was like, there was no doubt in my mind, which then watching it back is like, how the hell was I not doubting this? But then like, yeah, like really just believing that and thinking like I just remember saying to the team after that game, like, you guys believe it now. Like there's no one that can beat us if we're like really, we've worked our hardest and we're working our hardest currently. And like, we believe in ourselves. And I think that was true all season, like even until or even through the championship game. Like, I think what came out of that was like a little bit of doubt once things started to get messed up, which is kind of sucks to say. You wish that you could say like, no, we believed it the whole time. But I think that comes from not being there. And then also just like, I remember getting there and being like, nice, like we did it. And I think that was partially like exhaustion. And I remember talking about that to my fellow captains and they felt the same way. Just feeling like we had just pushed so hard. And we needed like a little more of like a, no, this is another challenge. Like, let's go take it.
It's almost like the goal is to get there and you're like, wait, we actually are a team capable of doing that. Like emotional capacity there is almost maxed out, but now you guys know you have the power of knowing, yeah, we're a national competitor here, which is exciting. And you're in this season, your senior year, I'm sure it'd be nothing sweeter than to bring it home as you kind of close the door on this chapter. So a lot of excitement building, I think, right now. What's kind of the next step in this semester for you guys?
I mean, we got Smoky coming up earlier than, or no, I guess Eastern's is earlier than we thought, but Smoky was like within less than a month. And so the next step is practice tomorrow and then the next day and the next day until we go to the tournament and then we're there and being present there. But I do think like, something I was preaching to the team before Florida, especially because Florida is like so exciting because it's warm and it's the first time we've played all season. But like, don't let that excitement take away from the gratitude of like being where you are now. And we're lucky to practice in a stadium and have a fun, like cool practice environment and practice against each other, like some of the best people in the country. So like being grateful for these everyday moments, and we don't get that much practice once we get into tournament season and like really have to manage our bodies with considering how much we're playing.
I like it. That's what's next for the team here. Have you given thought to what is next personally for you come graduation? Are you trying to go play club somewhere, try to make UFA? Like, what are your some personal goals with the sport of frisbee?
UFA is it's funny. But I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think my goal with frisbee is to show myself how far I can go, like putting everything into something. So sure, like, but maybe that stuff, but I'm pretty focused on this now. I also don't know where I'm going to be in terms of job stuff. So, like, depends what city I'm in.
That's fair. A lot of unknown, but a lot of excitement. But be present, right? How many times have we said this episode so far? Mm-hmm. Be present. And if that means show up to practice tomorrow, that's the first step in being present. So I like that. Now, have there been any, you know, players or even coaches that you've looked up through your time playing frisbee that kind of really helped you in your game, helped you grow, development as a better player, better leader? Have there been any role models there?
Yeah, I mean, the two coaches we have now, genuinely, like, I couldn't ask for better Frisbee role models and life role models. Rusty Ingoldsmith, I knew first because I played Sprout. Actually, I ended up going to club nationals with Sprout before I had ever been to college regionals, or I had ever played at college regionals. And he captains that team and kind of like is the heart and soul behind that team. And is definitely the person who taught me like the value of like really putting faith in someone. If they're like putting in the work, like I was saying before with our development, and that really comes from him. He's also an old Ironsides guy. So he like, he's a grinder. And then Dylan just kind of, it's kind of amazing. Every time we are struggling at a tournament, he just like pulls us into a huddle and is like 100% on saying the right thing. And he's just like, he, I think, has like really great hindsight into his career, and that's hindsight's 2020. So like he can really explain like enjoying every moment of it and like really just loving this game and loving like how much work you're putting into it. And then on top of that, he's like maybe the best player of all time. So sometimes at practice, he'll demonstrate like how he wants us to huck, and just will do like a perfectly wrong huck. He'll be like, oh, not this, and just do it like exactly wrong. And then he's like this and does it exactly right. And he like hasn't thrown in probably days. And it's just like, so yeah, those two are pretty awesome.
I love it. I think they're, a lot of times in life, we fall in this trap, like we can do it on our own. But I think that's wrong. I think we all need community, we all need support, and we all need someone to look up to, someone to strive to. So that's incredible. Great examples in your own life. And now kind of a bit of a fun question that I don't really, you know, looking at it, I think one thing really fun about Frisbee is just like team names are always goofy. They're always interesting. Zoo Disc, from an outside perspective, is kind of a goofy name. Yeah. There may be a good reason why it's Zoo Disc. But it's been around for a while, so do you know why you guys are called Zoo Disc?
Yeah, I mean, UMass is like a rowdy school, so it's called the Zoo. It's called ZooMass, and so we're Zoo Disc, and it's funny because we're not at all associated with like the frat bro culture here, but it's stuck and it has its own meaning for us. So
that's pretty sweet.
I don't see it changing.
Hey, you guys have been around for a long time, so yeah. There's definitely some history with that. That's fun. I like that. Now, if you could give kind of a piece of advice of trying to build a team, you know, bring a team together collectively to work hard, like how do you foster that atmosphere, that culture? What would you share?
I mean, I'd say, honestly, there's a decent amount of luck that goes into it. Like, I'm pretty grateful just for the timing of it all. Like, in a way, like, there's questionable, I mean, it's like, Judas doesn't perform it as well as it should, and then COVID happens, and people are, like, unhappy with the leadership the year coming out of COVID, and, like, they were unhappy with the coaching, and there's just like this opportunity coming out of that when I got elected to be like people immediately bought in because it was like, oh, thank God there's something new, you know? Like, so I'm always grateful just to have that. But then on top of that, like, you gotta like be everything you're preaching, and like preach good stuff and preach stuff that you think that the team will get behind. Like, there's definitely values that I have that I don't share with the team just because I don't think it's like a universal thing, or then the opposite, where it's like values that I have that I know will resonate with the team, and then I just got to stick to them and really, like, I don't know, I think just be the best person that you could be and really try to always improve and be honest with yourself, like, how hard are you working, and could you be working harder both to be a better person and to be a better Frisbee player? And then the rest kind of follows that.
Absolutely. I love it. And looking at a college years, playing Frisbee on a team in college is some of people's favorite memories, right? There's so much about doing life with that group of guys, working hard, you're hanging out, you're getting meals together. Do you have a certain memory or memories that kind of jump out of some of your favorite times with ZooDisc Frisbee team?
Is that off the field specific, or
it could be anything you want, just some highlights or two from your time playing in college?
Yeah, I mean, like, I always love just like staying in the terrible hotels they were staying in, which is ironic because this year I ended up not doing that, but like just hanging out and really like going through all the crappy stuff that we kind of put on ourselves. And I mean, like hanging out with the team, putting it in our Slack, like who wants to go eat or who wants to go throw and all that stuff is always great. But in terms of on the field stuff, there were definitely a couple games at Easterns last year that, I mean, I'm a D-line guy, and like there were games where it was super windy and our O-line got broken a bunch, and then we came back by like absurd margins, and we played Cal and they have their like zone that everybody thinks is so crazy. And then like, I just remember being like, get us on the field, like screaming that so loud. And then like, we got into a huddle and like, we just happened to be playing with a disc that was like a Cal disc. And I was like, F that, like, this is our disc, like, let's go take it. And just like screaming my head off in a huddle. And it's always so great when that like works out, because it like, obviously I have some role to play in it, but like, what if they throw a dime ball huck? Like, but it just like didn't happen. And like manifesting those types of moments where we just come back by a ridiculous margin. And then later in the tournament, I think we were down like 8-3 against Oregon and came back to win it on Universe Point. And like, that type of stuff is just awesome. And then we do that against Texas too. But like, yeah, that stuff is awesome.
It's so special. Like, those are the kind of memories that will stick with you, and you're going to relive them, rehash them, the guys over and over again. There's this interview with, I think it's a basketball player from Boston College at the end of the season. And he's at like press conference, and they ask him like, what was your favorite memory of playing in college? And the player just breaks down and he's like silent for a minute. And he comes back to the mic. He's like tears in his eyes. And he goes, my favorite memory is just getting food together.
Yeah.
And it's, I think from like outside perspective, it's like, what? Like, you just played sports for 4 years. It's some epic moment on the court, but it's like, it's the time with the guys. It's irreplaceable, and it's so special. And it sounds like you guys have that really down well. So that's amazing. And that goes back to what kind of mark you're going to leave. So really exciting that you guys have that. And Isaac, this kind of brings us to the end of this interview. I just want to open it up. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Just shout out this team, man. Like, I could literally shout out everyone, so I'm not going to do that. But like, yeah, I'm grateful for the faith they put in me, and I'm going to continue to put faith in them. And I'm optimistic, man.
Absolutely. I love it. Best of luck to you guys this season as you continue the spring semester on this very exciting journey you're on. Thanks for spending your time here. Thanks for sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Have a good one.
Thank you. And as always, make sure we check out the Breakside Instagram at Breakside_podcast. And this brings us to the end of episode 39. This is David Adamitis with Isaac Kaplan. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.